busy day. No major injuries, and the police only got called once, so I think that's a success. As Felindy was getting the hot dogs for lunch, she hit the on the iPhone, when you get to the home screen, it has an SOS emergency button, and she hit that. And that she was at Farley's when she hit it, and she realized it and hung up. And the police got to our house about a half hour later, so the response time wasn't necessarily as quick as you might hope, but they came anyway. But I asked him if he wanted to help us load the U-Haul, but he politely declined. But that was a fun thing yesterday. But appreciate all the help. We got everything loaded, and there's more fun to be had. If you're not busy tomorrow night, we'll be unloading. So, well, a few weeks ago, we started a sermon series on considerate Christians. Are we considerate? Do we consider others' needs above our own? And we start off this series by talking about how considerate Christians treat their enemies. And Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for them. And we concluded that many times we can only get to that point recognizing that we draw from God's Holy Spirit. We next talked about considerate Christians being humble. Humbleness is very important, and we stay humble by comparing ourselves to Jesus, by realizing that God alone meets our needs, and by recognizing that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Then we talked about how considerate Christians handle disagreements. We disagree with people sometimes, and sometimes people disagree with us. And this even happens in the church sometimes. And our primary goal when that happens has to be unity of the body and God's will. We then talked about considerate Christians and patience. We must pray for patience. And patience requires more of God and less of self. And today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Considerate Christians forgive. There's a preacher named Robert Warren who was teaching a Wednesday night Bible class. And he put the following on the chalkboard. He put this on the chalkboard. Next slide. Blank is commanded by God for the Christian. Blank is intentional. It's not just a matter of emotions. Blank is for who people are, not for what they do. And blank is often hard to do. And he asked his Wednesday night class, which word goes in all these blanks? Well, the Wednesday night class was meeting the day before Valentine's Day. So everyone in the class said love. Love is commanded by God for the Christian. Love is intentional. Love is for who people are, not for what they do. And love is often hard to do. And the preacher said, well, that's really good, but that's not what I was looking for. Was looking for the word forgiveness. Forgiveness is commanded by God for the Christian. Forgiveness is intentional, not just a matter of emotions. Forgiveness is for who people are, not for what they do. And forgiveness is often hard to do. Just like love, forgiveness is something that we all know we should do, but often we don't stop to think about all the implications involved with forgiving somebody. And this can be a hard topic. We think sometimes that we love because there are people that we love. We think sometimes that we are forgiving people because there are people that we're willing to forgive, but we don't remember sometimes that there's people we choose not to love, or people maybe we choose not to forget, not to forgive. C.S. Lewis says the following. He says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Often we don't understand all the implications involved with love and forgiveness because of a couple reasons. Maybe first of all, we haven't taken time to look at all the scriptures God gives us about the topic. But maybe we don't understand all the implications because we've never been truly loved and experienced that forgiveness from God in our own lives. As we strive to be considered Christians, we have to remember a few things. On our pursuit to be forgiving people, there's a few things we have to remember. And the first point is, forgiveness is a command. You know, we have to realize forgiveness isn't just an option or a suggestion that God gives us. But forgiveness is actually law. It's something we're commanded to do. And why is forgiveness commanded? I mean, if I come to church and I go to Bible study and I say nice things and I put positive memes on Facebook, isn't that enough? Does it really matter how I interact with other people? You know, how we relate with others is tied to our relationship with God. If we know God's love, then we can know love for other people, right? The opposite's also true. If we don't know God's love, we do not know God. Because God is love, amen? The same is true for forgiveness. Whoever knows true forgiveness knows God, because forgiveness comes from God. But if we don't know how to forgive, or we're refusing to forgive, we don't know God, because God is the source of forgiveness. And if we've truly been forgiven by God for all of our sins, then we're better able to understand how important it is that we forgive others the sins they've committed against us. We're also commanded to give because forgiveness is all about love. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Remember what he said? That's right. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. There's no way for us to forgive without love. And there's no way for us to love if we're not willing to forgive. We're all humans, right? Is there anybody in here who doesn't mess up? I blow it a lot. I'm not afraid to admit that. It happens. We mess up, we sin. And so do people who are around us. And if we're going to be in a loving relationship together, then we have to know how to forgive each other. Just ask any couple who's been married for longer than a decade. Did you get to that point without being able to forgive? No. We have to forgive our spouses. We have to forgive our family. And if we're obeying God's command to love, then we have to know that we have to forgive. If we want to be considered Christians, we have to have forgiving attitudes. And we're commanded to give because God has forgiven us. Amen. God has wiped the slate clean. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to read a parable, Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. And I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and he begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This parable illustrates this topic perfectly. We owed $1 billion in debt in terms of sin. Could anybody in here pay $1 billion worth of debt? If you do, I want to talk to you. No, it's insurmountable. It's tremendous. In terms of sin, that was our debt. No hope of ever paying it back. But through Jesus, your God erased it. Wiped the slate clean. And if you know that, and if we truly appreciate that, how can we hope to collect on sin debt that other people owe us? Think about it. Would you really beat somebody up over them owing you $10 when you just had $1 billion in debt erased? That's what this parable's talking about. This is why when the Bible commands us to forgive, it reminds us often of the debt of sin we have that God has wiped off our accounts. Praise God for that. Our command, he says, forgive as God has forgiven you. God forgives completely, church. He forgives irrevocably. He forgives perfectly. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And what Jared read for us in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God tells us what our standard is here in these verses. It is to forgive as we have been forgiven. Forgiveness is a command. And forgiveness is intentional. Forgiveness is intentional. It's not based on emotion. We can't just love people that we feel love for. We know that. We've talked about love. Love is a decision that we have to make, right? For those that have raised children, when the baby is crying at 2 a.m. every single night, do you always have that butterfly feeling of love when you walk in there to attend to it? No. But the mother chooses to tend to that baby because she has decided, I'm going to love this child, even when this stuff happens. The same thing happens in our relationships with each other. We have to make choices to love. It's not always about romantic feelings or feelings of emotion. And the same principle applies with forgiveness. We can't just wait until we feel like we want to forgive somebody, because we may never get there. I know there are people here today that have forgiven folks that have harmed them. It doesn't mean the anger goes away. It doesn't mean everything is okay in our minds or that what they've done is acceptable. Likewise, God doesn't hate our sin any less, but out of choice and love, he has decided to forgive us when we put on his son. Peter learned a difficult lesson from Jesus. He asked Jesus in Matthew 18:21, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive someone who's wronged me? Up to 7 times? He's saying, I know I'm supposed to forgive, Jesus, but how many times do I have to do it? And I don't know the reason behind Peter asking this question. You know, I wonder why he asked it. I wonder why he chose 7. That was a number that we see a lot. My guess is there was someone in Peter's life who had repeatedly wronged him. And so Peter was getting tired, probably, of constantly having to forgive this person. He thinks there must be some limit to how many times I have to do this. In other words, I don't feel like forgiving this jerk anymore, Jesus. When can I stop? And Jesus tells him very plainly, and he tells us in verse 22, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. How do you forgive the same person 77 times? It's not by emotion. It's not because we have a feeling that we want to. But we have to decide out of our conviction that God has forgiven us by choice. And we do so because we are responding to God's love and God's forgiveness. It's a matter of whether or not we're going to obey God. There's some people that have done things so heinous, we will never in our human minds feel like forgiving them. That's a reality of life. But it's only through the work of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us can we get to that point. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can get to that point. You know, it's easy to forgive someone who comes up to us on their knees with flowers and candy and begs us for forgiveness, right? That's easy. But it's harder, and it's only through God working through us that we can forgive a person who in our minds doesn't deserve it. And it takes time. I'm sure Peter was very glad he had this conversation with Jesus when he had denied him 3 times. Forgiveness is intentional, not just a matter of emotions. And forgiveness is not tied to what people do. Forgiveness is for who people are, not for what they do. You know, Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, right? He also commands us to love our enemy. He says, you know, it's no credit to us if we love the people who love us, because the people who don't know God do that. But to love those who are enemies, to love those who are persecuting us, that is when we are on the road to godly perfection. The same is true about forgiveness, church. It's easy to forgive the people that we love. Hopefully, most of the times, it's easy for a spouse to forgive another spouse, or a parent to forgive a child. Family can often forgive each other, but it's a lot harder to forgive somebody who's detestable to us. It's hard to forgive someone who has hurt us or somebody that we love, and many times this does include family. But this is where we have to remember what forgiveness is about. We're not forgiving the person and saying what they did is okay. We're forgiving the person because they are just that, a person made in the image of God, a person with a soul. We're acknowledging that just like us, they're human, fallen, sinful, imperfect. We don't love them just because they've done good things, but we love them because they're people created in God's image. And the same is true about forgiveness. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for the saved, right? He came for the sinner. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross only for the righteous, but for the lost. You remember what he says in Matthew 9:12 about who he came to save? He says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Likewise, it's not the good folks in our life many times that we have to forgive, but it's the people who are difficult. The person in your life, in my life, that I need to forgive the most is probably the person that is the most difficult for me to get to that point. Because that person has the greatest sin debt against us. But we have to remember, as we work toward this, forgiveness is about who people are, not about what they've done. And we have to remember that forgiveness is hard often. This is not an easy topic. It's not an easy topic to talk about, and it's really difficult when we face difficult situations and hurtful situations in life. But you know what? It's not about us doing it alone. God's Spirit helps. You know, God asks us to do a lot of things that are difficult, and what we have to learn in this instance and in other instances, we have to be willing to follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit will help us do the things to make us the people He's called us to be. Amen? We've never been asked to do any of this alone. It's not always easy for us to choose what's right when our emotions want to do the opposite. And that happens a lot, right? Maybe it's just me, but it happens to me a lot. That's where we have to realize God will give us the strength. It's not easy to forgive people that have done unforgivable things in our minds. We need to realize God loves them. We need to try to see them as the Christian that we are. We need to try to see them through the eyes of Jesus, a person who needs Him, a person just like us who's imperfect. Why should we wrestle with forgiveness if this is so hard? Why should we try to do this? Well, first of all, if we're a Christian, if we claim to be a Christian, we have to be forgiving, because forgiveness comes from love. And love comes from where? God. That's right. Secondly, forgiveness is just as much a benefit for me as it is the person that's hurt me, right? You can't truly be happy in your life and content and right in your relationship with God or even worship Him appropriately when you're holding a grudge. And that's a reality. Forgiving is a way to bring freedom into our lives by removing the burden that we're carrying. A guy named Robertson McQuilkin says the following: when you carry a grudge, it is only your back that gets sore, not the other person's. The sin of unforgiveness is a cancer that destroys relationships, eats away at one's own psyche, and worst of all, shuts us off from God's grace. And also, we should wrestle with forgiveness and strive toward it, because we realize learning to forgive doesn't come naturally. It comes from growing and understanding and maturing as people of God and relying on His Spirit. You know, just like patience last week, forgiveness requires less of self and more of God. We have to turn our inability to forgive over to God. We have to draw from His strength and His help. If you're here this morning and you have a need to grow in forgiveness, if there's someone in your life that you need help forgiving, go to God. Pray about it. Open up His Word and see what He's... Don't take my word for it. Open up the Bible. See what God is teaching you about forgiveness. Spend time in prayer with God, but spend quiet time meditating, listening, waiting. Rely on your church family. You know, whatever you're struggling with today, and we all struggle with these issues, none of us are immune from it. Whatever you're struggling with today, chances are there's somebody here who's gone through that or is going through that. And we have a tremendous benefit as a church family. Your church family's not here to judge you. Your church family's here to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to support you. Maybe you've been hurt in a way that has left a scar on your soul. Maybe you've been hurt in a way that's unimaginable. Maybe it's even been by somebody you've loved and trusted. These things don't only affect your life, but it affects the lives of the people you're around. It affects the lives of your relationship with God. Don't bear this burden alone. Bring it to God. Let Him help you. You know, there may be some here this morning who really don't know how to love or forgive because they've never experienced the perfect love and forgiveness of Jesus. You know, we can't understand what it means to have a sin debt forgiven when we've never experienced that in our own lives. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, man, take that step today. Come to Him and confess He's Lord and Savior. Repent and be baptized. In that water, you come into contact with the blood of Christ, that blood that washes you. You receive the gift of His Holy Spirit, coming up out of that water, forgiven, with a Savior who will take you to heaven with Him. You know, if you're here this morning and you've never taken that step, we're ready to help you. If you're here this morning and you have a need about anything going on in your life, anything you need help with, anything you need prayers for, that's what we're here for. You know, God chose to love us while we were still enemies with Him. And He did this by sending His perfect Son to die in your place. Come and accept that forgiveness today. Begin your journey toward being a considerate Christian who forgives. A journey that starts here, but a journey that goes on to glory in heaven forever. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want to invite you to come now as we stand and sing.